Chris looked at her and played. They will never be disappointed. Help has called to him, and he answers. He saves them from all their troubles. The angel guards those who obey the Lord and rescues them from danger. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Happy are those who find safety with him. And the second is from Jeremiah chapter 18 on page 751. Verses 1 to 6. The Lord said to me, "Go down to the potter's house, where I will give you a message." So I went there and I saw the potter working at his wheel. Whenever a piece of pottery turned out imperfect, he would take that clay and make it into something else. Then the Lord said to me, "Haven't I the right to do with you, the people of Israel, what the potter did with the clay? You are in my hands, just like clay in the potter's hands."
Thank you, Andre and Irene. Thank you, Zane, for pulling it all together. There's a public knowledge that you're going to be leaving us very soon, Zane. So he's got an opportunity he couldn't turn down in Wellington, and next Sunday will be Zane's final Sunday here. We really appreciate your service and all the skills and your commitment to what you've done over recent times. And so we need young people like you around, so we're going to be needing to pray for some other young folk to join us. So every blessing on the future, saying, "Well, I'll pray for you now. I'm not going to be here next week, so Lord, thank you for..." Would you like to come up, Zane? Do you want to tell us what you're going to be doing? Are you allowed to?
It's an IT job for the government. Yep, that's it. It's an IT job. It's going to be great. Don't know what I'm doing yet, but we'll find out.
Lord, thank you for Zane, and thank you for his heart, and Lord, thank you for all the skills and ability you've given him, and Lord, we pray that you would use him, bless him, and guide him as he heads off down to Wellington, and provide for him, and help him in his new career, and Lord, we thank you that your plans for him are for good, to bring about a future and a hope. And so we ask your blessing on this young man's life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you heard from Curtis recently?
Yes.
Yeah?
Curtis is having fun in Japan. He's slowly getting there. First few weeks were a bit iffy, but he's really enjoying it now. He's made some friends at the local coffee shop. Surprise, surprise. But yeah.
Very good. Thank you, Sam. So my message this morning is around the potter and the clay. The potter's house, from the reading in Jeremiah 18 that Irene brought to us. That my first experience, or my only experience of pottery really, was in my first year of teaching. And I thought I'd enroll in a sort of an evening class at the Polytech, and I thought it would be good therapy, and that I might learn a few skills that I might be able to pass on to the children in my classroom. Well, it looks a lot easier than it actually is. So this course was for one term. Back then, terms used to be about 12 13 weeks, Johnny. None of this sort of short 10-week business. And so for one term, every Wednesday evening went off to this pottery class, and it was tough going. I was not particularly successful, especially on the wheel. The wheel, that's a great concept really, isn't it? But I had clay flying off in all directions, and I just couldn't. Look, after 12 weeks, I hadn't been able to form anything. And I thought, I actually need to take something with me at the end of this course. So I got out a round cylinder thing like a bottle, and I rolled a flat bit and I turned around the clay, and I formed made a vase for my dear mother. She was very graciously accepted it. It wasn't particularly a pretty thing, and I don't even know if it was watertight, but I made something, but I couldn't get anything to work on the wheel. Is anyone here an accomplished potter or had any success with pottery? There we go. Oh, really good, Louis. And it's a great sort of activity for people who don't see too well. Very tactile. Yeah. We'll hear more from the Faulkners some other time about their creativity. So I thought I'd break this message into three parts, three sections. We'd look firstly at the potter and then think about the wheel, and then consider the clay. So let's start first by looking at the character and intentions of the potter. Unlike me, the potter spoken about by Jeremiah was very skilled at his craft. He had created the clay, built the wheelhouse and the potter's house, incredibly experienced at what he did and what he does. The potter's hands knew the feel of the clay. They still know the feel of the clay. What's gone on, what the needs are, the potential, the possible shape, the purposes, the intentions. He knows the clay so well. He takes intense interest in the clay. He's not distracted by other things going on. And the potter's incredibly patient. Unlike the time frame I had at the Polytech, 12 or 13 weeks, the potter is prepared to spend a lifetime shaping us. The potter desires to lift us all to the highest level. So it's good to think first of all around the character and the intentions of the potter. We're in capable hands. The potter's wheel, moving on. This is just a little short reflection. I won't keep you long. As King Henry said to each of his six wives, I won't keep you long. Jeremiah addresses the exiles, especially those in Babylon, in the years after the destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC. So the prophet delivered the word of God to the people of Israel at the most terrifying time in their history. Things were going really really bad for the Israelites. So these circumstances, felt at a political and personal level, were what the potter's wheel was, what God uses as his wheel. So it's our circumstances, I believe, translate to what the potter's wheel is all about for us. The circumstances of the Israelites way back then were pretty tough, and God brought this message of hope to the people then. And God still uses our circumstances as his main means of shaping our character and moulding us into the people he wants us to be, and moulding the church into the church he wants us to be. So Jeremiah brought a message of challenge, but it's also a message of perspective and hope. A skilled potter can make the process of shaping a beautiful vessel from a lump of clay appear so easy. But for the clay, for those of us being moulded and shaped, the whole exercise of change and transformation can be very traumatic. Change can be painful. Circumstances are not always easy. One of the challenges that I faced in my pottery lessons was to keep the clay in the centre of the wheel. Things get very wobbly, and shapes can get very quickly distorted with clay flying off in all directions if the clay is not in the centre of our wheel. And that's, I think, one of the personal challenges and invitations for all of us as we grow in the Christian life, to consider how we can best place ourselves in the centre of the wheel. And for me, it's really not, it's tied in with not fighting our circumstances, learning a contentment with where God has placed us. There have been many times in my life which have been painful when I have wanted to jump off that wheel. And right at the points when I needed God's comfort and strength, and where God could have shaped me most, I was wanting out of there. There's a secular psychologist called Martin Seligman who came up with the phrase post-traumatic growth. I have spoken about this before, but I really find those three words promising and hopeful. And you know, often we talk about trauma, we talk about stress, we talk about post-traumatic stress. And Martin Seligman doesn't, he acknowledges the stress involved with trauma, but his writing is about growth coming from through stress. So through trauma. So if trauma can be worked through, if people can find personal support and community support, and it can be worked through well, growth can come through trauma. You know, and he's actually writing as a secular psychologist. So how much more for those hopeful can we be of God growing us through trauma and through the difficulties of our circumstances and the challenges that we face? And one of my favourite scriptures is from 1 Peter 5, verse 10. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him belongs the power forever. Amen. So, transformation is really what this passage is about. And God reshaping, bringing change, bringing growth through the circumstances we face on the wheel of our lives. And I love some of these progressions that we find in Scripture. I'll read from Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. So, just some words of encouragement to those people who are discouraged by a particular set of circumstances or the challenges that you face in your own life at the moment. Your particular experience of life on the potter's wheel today. We can trust the potter, and the suffering is only for a season. And the outcome will be successful if we keep on the centre. I've been reading a little bit about Viktor Frankl recently. Anybody heard of this man, Viktor Frankl? Alex is nodding quietly. Yeah, I won't ask you what you know about him. No. So he was a survivor of the Holocaust. In 1944, Frankl and his remaining family were moved to Auschwitz, where his mother was killed. His wife died shortly after. And he writes, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that anything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." And I think that's really profound. And having worked for quite a few years in the disability sector, there's something rich and strong around the characters of people who have faced incredible difficulties and losses, and yet somehow or other have chosen to remain on the centre of the wheel, centred, and they've worked through. They're not trying to jump off the wheel that God's placed them on. They're there, and they've really got a lot to offer, and their lives are incredibly infectious and inspiring. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And I think, for me, that relates to choosing to stay on the wheel, to choosing to learn from the circumstances that God has placed us in at the moment, rather than just yearning to jump off. I remember when I was a finished a new graduate and I had a job at the Rural Bank and Finance Corporation. And numbers, I don't know why I did this, I did a business studies degree, but I just didn't enjoy that sort of work in this administrative type world in a big office. And every day when I got home from work, I would look in the Evening Standard, the Manawatu Evening Standard, for jobs. And trying to find something that was more appealing. And I applied for all sorts. I was never really turned down one, any of them, but the doors closed in different ways. But I remember one day reading the Daily Bread notes in the morning, and it said, and the notes said, "Are you so busy looking for a job, God hasn't given you, because, and rather than accepting the one God has," something like that. So it hit me. These words hit me, and I just had to pray and ask God's forgiveness for being too busy trying to get out of where God had led me, because the way I got that job was a very clear answered prayer, and yet I wasn't really willing to learn the lessons God had for me there. I was too busy trying to jump off the wheel and get out of there. So, and things improved. Once I got my attitude right, many other things improved. And I think it's a key there. If we can get our attitude right, if we can get somehow with God, get onto that centre of the wheel, get our attitudes right, then life isn't going to be so wobbly. And God can get on with shaping us and using us in that particular situation. That was my experience. So, each of us will be facing our own particular circumstances and challenges today. Not all of them will be what we had perhaps aspired to or hoped for when we were younger. But God is still in control. He's still able to shape us and mould us. And as a church here, God is still working with us and able to shape us. So, thirdly, we're looking at the clay. In Jeremiah's message, the clay represented the people of Israel. But in this message, the clay can also represent us, you and me, and the people here at St. James in Motorua. So I've got a few questions that we might like to reflect on rather than answer them today. We might like to think about these in the days ahead. So thinking on a personal level, but also thinking on a church-wide level. What sort of clay are we? What can cause clay to become hard and lumpy and dry? And what can we do personally and as a church together to be more pliable and moist and allow God to more easily shape us into what God has for us? And what can we do as individuals and as a church to ensure that we stay in the centre of the wheel? potter always sees the potential. And God will do as good for us as we allow, and then some. Remember whose hands we're in. And let's be open to God's surprises. So to conclude, the message from Jeremiah is a message of hope for a seemingly hopeless situation. And it's also a message about transformation and renewal. I'll conclude by reading the passage again. This is the word that came from Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best, as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand." Let's pray together. Lord, we've sung earlier on this morning, asking you to change our hearts, O God, and make us ever true. We've asked you to mould us and make us, to be more like you. We acknowledge you as the potter, the one whose intentions are absolutely wonderful and totally motivated by love. We acknowledge your experience, your capability, your loving hands. And we pray for each one here that we would learn the lessons you'd have us learn from the particular situations that we are currently in, whether it's through our jobs, families, whether it's through health issues, whether it's through the waiting for the MSB to come with some answers in terms of future ministry here at St James, whether it's waiting for a building that doesn't leak. Lord, there's all sorts of circumstances that you know all about. But we do pray this morning that you'd help us to learn the lessons that you can teach us in the waiting. And we thank you for your patience and for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.